Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We are off and running now on Thursday, the 27th of March, 2025. Very much looking forward to what should turn out to be, weather-wise anyway, Tom, an absolutely beautiful weekend. Anytime you have temperatures in the upper 70s, around 80.
After flirting with the upper 90s, we're going to be looking at some mid-80s, which won't be bad at all.
Not bad at all. Great time to sit out on the patio and enjoy this lovely early spring weather. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights, and I'm glad they do, to our studio during the noon hour on the Buckmaster Show. And of course, we're coming to you from the Bustos Media Center, which is in central Tucson. Five radio stations right here under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We're in our 15th year now with our radio program. We have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts conveniently available for you, going back to the first week of January 2011 at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, and we're going to do one here in a moment, the Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go up to the state capitol. It has been many weeks since we got an update on what lawmakers are up to in the 2025 session. Let's bring in the Assistant Minority Leader, Nancy Gutierrez, Democrat, representing Tucson's District 18, which covers the Catalina foothills, Casas Adobes, a swath of Tucson north of Broadway, east of Country Club, and west of Camino Seco. How are you today, Representative Gutierrez?
Hi, I'm doing well. So glad that we could make this work. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I wanted to find out, we really haven't checked in with you or any really other lawmakers since this session began. How would you characterize how things are going?
Oh, gosh. I won't say any bad words, it's been kind of status quo with the way things have been going for the past 3 years. Very partisan politics, really disappointing that our voices are stifled by the Republicans in control.
You've had a couple of items that you wished could be pushed forward, and they were shot down, weren't they?
Well, they were. My bill, HB 2213, would have made reduced lunch free for students. And it's a practice that we've been doing in Arizona since COVID. And it got through Education Committee with little resistance. It went through Appropriations with only two no votes. It got through Cal and rules, and then the Republicans held it and did not give it a third read vote for absolutely no reason. I had a majority of the majority, so meaning 18 yes votes from the Republicans, and yet the leadership held my bill for no reason until they were sure they could, you know, change people's minds to not vote on it. So I am going to get that in the budget. I told them this, but there was really no reason for them to hold it. Like I said, it had bipartisan support. So it's a chaotic Republican caucus. And
why the games? Why not tell you what's going on?
That's a great question.
I don't get this. You're a lifelong educator, teaching in this state since 1994. It's a passion with you. And it just seems like there's this bias against anyone that speaks up for our young people that's our future. I don't get this.
I don't either, but I have a great example of that. My very first committee hearing in the House. I sat next to Representative Payne, who's now Senator Payne, and I was wearing red. And he said, because it was Wednesday, so red for Ed. And I had never met this man before, and I went to sit down, and he said, "Oh, you're a teacher? Then you're my enemy."
What?
So I said, "Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much, sir." But that is how they feel. If it's like any of us who have spent our lives serving public schools are their enemy, and they make that quite clear. The other enemy of them seems to be the developmentally disabled community, Bill. It is sick what they are doing to this community. They are waiting for the DDD community. DDD Alltech needs $100 million supplement in there right now in this fiscal year in order to continue their services. And I had a bill that would have done that, and they refused to hear it. So we did some shenanigans on the floor a couple weeks ago, and they just will not hear this bill. They will not give them the money they need. And these are children and adults who require institutional level care. Okay. So they're at home, and sometimes their parents get paid as caregivers, but they have in-home therapies. And it's a fantastic program that actually saves the state money. And we don't have institutional care for them. And the Republicans just want to bash Governor Katie Hobbs about her, you know, they want it to be her fault that we need this extra money. And the truth is, we just need this extra money because there are so many people in Arizona who are using this program. And they just are keeping this hostage. And we, a couple of weeks ago, each of my 27 members in the House Democratic Caucus took time during our opening to introduce 27 different families and tell their story. And I will tell you something, Bill, they got so angry at us. But it was powerful because these are Arizonans. These are tax-paying Arizona families that need this money, and the Republicans are holding it hostage. And I'm just appalled by their behavior.
Why are we attacking now disabled people?
That's a great question. They because you know what? They care about their power more than they care about actually helping constituents. And I will tell you, I've had so many just heartwarming emails that bring me to tears of Republicans who voted for these people. And now they're saying, thank you and the Democrats for listening to us. I will not vote Republican again. What they've seen is disgusting.
Mm. Well,
and I'm sorry that, you know, this community has to be hurt for them to see who's actually representing them.
And then disabling disabling the Department of Education is going to really, that's going to then folks who are disabled need special teaching assistance. That will all be thrown back to the state of Arizona, and then who knows what happens.
Correct. And we don't do as good a job as we should. And we're seeing that in our schools, in our district schools. Our special education numbers are rising. Our regular education numbers are falling. And we just don't get enough funding for special education students to run a school. And that is what's happening. I'll tell you something, Bill. I do not have a teaching job to go back to in August.
What?
Because Tucson is having to lay off teachers, and that is because of lower enrollment. And because I'm only there a half of a year, I put my name up in our department because I just morally could not have another teacher who's there all year lose their job because of seniority. So it breaks my heart. It's heartbreaking, but that's the reality of public education right now. And yet we're giving vouchers $1 billion a year.
Mm. We're speaking with the Assistant Minority Leader, Democrat Nancy Gutierrez, and Nancy represents District 18. She's my representative. I live in the Catalina foothills, and she's trying to stand up for education, but it's been a very difficult road. And while we're on it about education, it seems like every session over the last 3 to 5 years, school vouchers that program continues to be enhanced. Is there any way that you can put the brakes on that?
Well, we could, but that would really require, I mean, the Republicans are not going to vote with us to, we dropped bills that would put a cap on it. We have lots of ideas on how to slow this down, caps, income caps, more reporting requirements, real fingerprint card clearances. But the Republicans won't even give any of those a hearing. We will work to put some of those restraints in the budget, but I don't know. We always work for them, but it would mean that the budget really wouldn't happen until we put up a really huge fight with the governor. So,
has the governor indicated how the budget process is going along right now?
From what I know, there have been no conversations really with the Republican leadership and the governor as far as the budget. In the Democratic caucuses in the House and Senate, we are talking with our members and dialing in on what our priorities are and where our line in the sand is. You know, we don't want any cuts to K-12 education like happened last year. We don't want cuts to higher education. We want to fund our medical programs like the DDD All Techs, but we'll see. So we are ready and able to talk budget whenever the Republicans are ready, but from what I've heard, they are not ready yet.
Speaking of higher education, our University of Arizona climate scientist, Dr. Zach Guido, is my guest on the program this week. And he said, we're talking about perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe up to $1 billion of research money that could dry up for the University of Arizona alone with all these holds from the Trump administration.
It will be devastating. I think the Trump administration is just wanting to sow chaos. I don't think that any of these, executive orders are really about making our country better. They are only about creating chaos and creating a dictatorship. He has shown us time and time again by the people that he's put in charge, of his cabinets, that he has chosen the least qualified folks to lead. And as evidenced by, the scandal this week with sharing a top secret documents with the press, I don't understand. I'm hoping that, Trump supporters are watching this and starting to realize what it is that they voted for, because we are in trouble. Our country is in trouble. If you've looked at the stock market lately, if you've looked at the price of eggs, the price of gas, none of that is coming down like he promised that it would. And there's just a lot of chaos.
Yeah, and I think it really hasn't been talked about much, but when you have researchers at the University of Arizona who are very worried about their future, you know what that happens when they stop spending a lot of money, and this trickles down.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt this economy here in Tucson. I'll tell you, and you know very well, you didn't get off the bus yesterday, either did I, that this economy is three-stooled in this town. University of Arizona, Raytheon, and Davis-Monthan.
Mm-hmm. You bet. You bet. All of those are at risk right now. As well as, our economy in Tucson is also very reliant on our neighbors to the south and people from Mexico coming and shopping in our stores and, bringing business here. And that is all in jeopardy, as are our schools. I mean, public schools, we have students who are afraid to come to school because their families are mixed status families. And there's so much fear around, ICE coming into churches, coming into, hospitals. We saw a bill yesterday on the floor in Cal that would make hospitals check immigration status of anyone who in for medical care. I wish I was kidding, but I'm not.
Wow.
And I mean, so not only do we have a healthcare crisis as it is right now with not enough medical workers, now we're going to make medical workers immigration agents. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and then this cutting back, ending all calls to Social Security. Well, now they're kind of revising it, but generally to have to go down to Social Security to stand in line. And I know this personally. There was a piece of mail that was misplaced or whatever concerning Social Security. So I had to try to reach them and spent almost 3 hours on the phone one day, then finally called first thing in the morning, got through after 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. What the heck? And now we're doing away with that line?
Right. Right. I mean, that's what I mean by chaos. This isn't about government efficiency. This is about not serving the American people and calling it efficiency. Mm. I don't think this is what people wanted when they voted for.
All right. Let's have you stick around through the break. We'll take our first break on the Buckmaster Show, and we will be back with the Assistant Minority Leader for the Democratic Caucus, Nancy Gutierrez of Tucson, right after this.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. All excited about a new sponsor. Joining us April 1st and looking at the calendar, that's Tuesday of next week. We're going to be welcoming Pima Council on Aging. We'll join the Buckmaster Show portfolio of folks we love, and we're very happy to have Pima Council on Aging now part of the Buckmaster family. The Buckmaster Show broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. And when we do our telephone interviews, like right now, Rincon Ventures and Sean and the gang over there, real estate and property management, they sponsor the live line. Let's continue now. Go up to the state capitol. She's very busy. I'm glad she was able to carve out a few minutes for us, the assistant minority leader, Democrat Nancy Gutierrez. And Nancy represents District 18, which is the Catalina Foothills, Casas Adobes, and a lot of other places in Tucson. So one thing that's always so interesting since Governor Hobbs, a Democrat, has been the governor, we see so many of these, I call them like statement bills that are pushed by Republicans who know that the governor will veto them. I don't get it. Yeah. Seems like it's just wasting a lot of time, Nancy Gutierrez.
I agree with you. Thank goodness we have her to veto these bills because they are hurtful to Arizonans. But I don't understand wasting that kind of time, especially when they only see about 7% of the bills that Democrats produce. You know, if we took away all of those, I think statement bills is a great way to put them, mm-hmm. we could actually hear bills that we have that benefit people. And we are elected by Arizonans. They think they're only elected by Republican Arizonans. You know, I was elected by everyone in LD 18, whether they voted for me or not. I'm here to represent everyone. So that is not how the Republicans think. It is a very partisan situation up here.
Yeah, an example, the bill you were talking about showing proof of citizenship to be admitted for medical yeah. care. You know, Governor, if that were to get to the governor's desk, there's no way the governor is going to allow that to go into law. That, to me, seems like kind of a quintessential, what I call, a statement bill.
Agreed. And I looked it up. It's SB, so Senate Bill 1268. Completely agree with you. And let me tell you who the bill sponsor is. Wendy Rogers. So, yes, right there we know that's a Freedom Caucus bill that was party line through the Senate. It will be party line in the House. And, yes, it will be vetoed. And I just don't understand. We have a lot of important work to do, including passing a budget. And why aren't we working on that? I mean, why are we doing this? I'll give you another example. On Monday, we have our last appropriations meeting, and it's going to go 8 to 10 hours on Monday.
How many hours?
Eight to ten.
Oh, my.
Yeah. God. Mm. And I guarantee you that most of those bills will be those just rotten bills that are going to be vetoed by the governor. Mm. They're also really good, Bill, at putting bills that are going to go straight to the voters, and they bypass the governor. And what I mean, as a strategy, I think it's a really dumb idea because voters don't want all of these, extra propositions on their bills by extreme Republican lawmakers. And I think that might backfire on them.
Mm. From a personal point of view, you shared with us that you will basically, you're losing your job, right, at Tucson High?
Yeah.
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 So what are you looking for now? Are you like looking for a job or what?
Well, I would be if I was not married, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily, my husband kids me when I wanted to run for office. He said, how much does it pay? And when I told him $24,000 a year, he said, how do you do it, Nancy? First as a teacher, now as a politician, how do you pick the jobs that require the most amount of hours and get the least amount of pay? So lucky for me, I have him. But, you know, a lot of folks here would have to get another part-time job. I'll be looking, but I'm not sure. Being the Democratic assistant leader, I have a lot of obligations to be in Phoenix in the fall. So I will be doing this job full-time through the interim.
All right. So this session could easily go to the end of June, couldn't it?
It could. The Republicans keep saying they want a budget by the end of April, and yet it is the end of March, and we have not, you know, they haven't given the governor her proposal. They haven't spoken to the Democrats about it at all. So I don't see that happening. It could be June. We just don't know.
All right. Nancy Gutierrez, good catching up with you, Nancy. Thank you very much.
Great to talk with you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot. Assistant Minority Leader for the Democrats, Nancy Gutierrez, with us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, the leader of the Tucson Unified School District, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, is with me in studio. Dr. Trujillo is ready to go after we take the mid-show break. So we're going to kind of circle back, talk a little bit about some more about education here locally right after this break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. And again, I want to welcome a new sponsor. Pima Council on Aging will join the Buckmaster Show roster. We're excited about that. You'll be hearing a lot of about what they're doing, the great things over there during our program starting on April the 1st. But right now, talk about the teardown sale up to 50% off. over at Zocalo Village. It's a rare opportunity to purchase one-of-a-kind, handcrafted Mexican art and furniture. A couple of the buildings, three to be specific, have to be torn down. They're in a federal floodplain area, so be torn down, and the merchandise must be moved. So rather than invest the time and the labor to move it over to the new building, why not just discount it heavily and let the consumers and the shoppers take home some real bargains? ZocaloVillage.com, and they are located within the Green Things 13-acre footprint, 3384 East River Road, GreenThingsAZ.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our thanks to Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month or so, sometimes it's a little bit longer, we bring in the superintendent of Tucson Unified, the largest school district in Southern Arizona, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. He's been a very busy guy. And before we talk about what State Representative Nancy Gutierrez, who is a longtime educator, was talking about, some of the issues with enrollment at TUSD, I want to first of all welcome Dr. Trujillo. Good to see you.
Hey, it's good to be back, Bill.
Tell us a little bit about your experience at the cathedral in downtown Tucson for the final, the funeral for Representative United States Representative Raul Grijalva.
It was bittersweet. Sweet in the sense that there was a community celebration of this incredible servant leader's legacy to the region, to Tucson, to the people of Tucson, to the voters, and everything that he represented. But then a little bitter because I think the community at large sees the loss of this great civil servant and this great legislator and this great politician.
They don't think of the longtime association with your district.
I see our district losing a champion, and then more so, I see my friend losing her father. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to see Adelita struggle to put the words together. I see my friend losing her father. So for me, yes, it's a celebration of life, but then having the last 10 years seeing just what an important presence he is in her daily life, and what he has meant to her as a daughter, as a leader, as a mom, as an educator, and now as a leader in her own right, was very difficult for me to see that. But he, in terms of TUSD, he was our native son. He was ours before he ever became a U.S. congressman, before he ever became Pima Board of Supervisor. He cast some of the most influential and foundational votes in TUSD history that really shaped the district we have today. Look, he, in the early 80s, he voted to establish University High School as its own school and no longer just a program.
Wow.
He advocated for that, and then the creation of Rincon University High School. In the mid-70s, one of the first things he did when he got on the board, and this is a testament to his vision that would come to fruition, he advocated for and got the votes for and successfully passed a governing board approval to establish Old Howenstein High School as the first solar-powered high school in the state of Arizona.
Wow.
And the first high school that was fully dedicated to students with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So even back in the mid-70s, his vision of a more sustainable world, right, and using sun and solar power, you could see it. And so he will be missed.
Yeah, he's a longtime member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board, then went on, of course, to be the on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. In many ways, Adelita, his daughter, her career has mirrored her dad. And when Adelita was on the show last week, It's been a very emotional time for her, and she said, you know, as far as what comes next, she wanted to kind of get through this period, and that's very understandable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's going on with, we just heard State Representative Nancy Gutierrez talk about that she kind of voluntarily stepped forward and said, I'm stepping aside. Give us the story on this.
Representative Gutierrez did one of the most selfless acts of courage I have seen running the school district, and probably one of the only instances where I've seen a tenured teacher voluntarily give up her spot. Look, the district has enrollment challenges, right? And like most districts, what you do is you look at your staffing, and if a particular school doesn't have the enrollment numbers to justify the number of teachers, then the identified number of teachers that are over, they go into what's called a transfer portal, meaning they could be transferred anywhere across the district where there are vacancies. And the teachers that are identified, it's based off of seniority, according to our agreement with the Tucson Education Association. And what Nancy did, Nancy has many years at Tucson High. She has seniority. She selflessly raised her hand and said, you know, I don't want to take the spot of one of these younger teachers, newer to the profession, just getting their start in the profession here at Tucson High. So I'm gonna voluntarily step aside, okay?
Wow.
And so that these teachers here at Tucson High can have their spot. Incredibly selfless. And on top of that, she's one of our greatest champions in the legislature, whether it's fighting against these vouchers or fighting for better funding for students with disabilities or better funding for capital. So kudos to Representative Gutierrez for that work that she continues to lead down there.
She gave an example, and I was talking with her about what seems to me, you see kind of this anti-education public school bias on behalf of some Republican lawmakers. And she gave the story that when she, during the back in the Red for Ed movement, she wore red in the legislature. And a Republican lawmaker sat next to her and said, "Oh, you're one of those."
Yeah. The
like, oh my gosh, you know, you're a teacher?
I've been in education now for almost 28 years. And, you know, I've seen different eras. I saw the era of standardized testing and No Child Left Behind. I saw the era of, you know, sort of the Great Recession, the Great Economic Reset, and tough financial times. This is the first time I've actually seen the outright demonization of public schools and public school educators. And the perception in some circles of this legislature that unfortunately have power to make decisions about funding, view us as nothing more than a tax burden, quote unquote, government schools and indoctrination centers that wake up every single day with the sole goal of undercutting the authority of our parents. And we're doing everything we can to change hearts and minds. I was at the legislature about a week and a half ago, spent the whole day down there with our lobbyists trying to tell our story to a lot of these folks. And I could see it in my conversations with some of these legislators that nothing I was saying was resonating. They already had these preconceived notions about what we are as a public institution.
Government schools. Matt has called us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt, you're with Dr. Trujillo. Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Trujillo, and thank you for everything that you do, as usual. I know you're probably going to talk with Bill about the numbers, you know, and funding and all the rest of that. So I know it's a little bit tougher, and there's a lot of uncertainty because we really don't know what the extent the federal situation will affect the states and eventually the school systems. But on a separate note, just two quick questions, if you could look into it. And it's hard to address strategic issues, but where are we at TUSD in integrating AI into our classrooms? And I saw Khan Academy on today talking about it, and also embedding our students' lives.
Okay.
And second, real quickly, if you could address New Mexico, I saw some of their students. It was horrible. I mean, they couldn't even fundamentally talk. So I was wondering, where are we addressing the needs of the poor to get them at a similar level educationally with the kids in town that have resources? Bye.
All right. Two-part question. We're up against the break. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Tuesday night, the governing board had a rich discussion about its first AI policy. They actually ended up at an impasse. And so we have some of our board members that, hey, this is the wave of the future. We need to embrace it. It's already here. Let's go.
Others are cautious.
And then we had others more cautious about, hey, we're worried that it's going to take jobs away or we're worried that our younger students are going to lose fundamental skills. Mm-hmm. I think the second question is that's the one that bedevils every school district, right? So as you look at a voucher system and you look at private schools and charters that siphon off the best and brightest and most advanced learners in any system, not just TUSD, it's usually the students that are working off grade level that are left in the districts because they're not usually going to be accepted by elite privates and charters or voucher going parents. Yeah. And so we have to do some fundamental things different to be effective with these learners. You got to lengthen the school year. You got to lengthen the school day. Mm-hmm. You have to carve out funding for specialized interventionists in reading, writing, and math. And you got to make sure that they're operating during the school day. And that bill takes a lot of green, takes a lot of money to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take some compassion and support from the community. So our adults, our parents are going to have to stand back and say, okay, so this stuff is good for kids. We know this by the research, which means that I may have a shorter summer break. Mm-hmm. Those are adult issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Or my work, my drive to work and my pickup time might change a little bit because my kid needs more instructional time. So it's going to do a lot of asking of the community to put the needs of our kids first.
But the school year could definitely, or the summer vacation could be shrunk, if you will, or a couple of weeks knocked off.
I mean, if we're going to get at the heart of what Matt asked, we know that these are what successful districts have done.
Yeah, you're going to have to make some changes.
Make some changes, yep.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Segment number four is coming up with Superintendent Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. It is Buckmaster on a Thursday, and we will quickly promote, while we're talking about the legislature, we had Democrat Nancy Gutierrez today. Tomorrow, the Republicans will get their say here on the show as we bring in State Senator Vince Leach. He will be our Friday Focus interview. Joining me in the conversation, my co-media host will be Jim Nintzel from TucsonSentinel.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Wow, looking at that midday temperature that Tom just put up on my screen, 73. Hey, that's delightful over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What perfect weather to go out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. And it's going to cool down into the upper 60s for the weekend. Still just perfect weather, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now for the drive over there. southwestnewmexico.org is the website. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with us, the superintendent at Tucson Unified. And again, we had Nancy Gutierrez today, the assistant minority leader of the Democrats from District 18. And tomorrow the Republicans have their turn here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll have Senator Vince Leach with me for the Friday Focus interview. And then a week from Friday, from the Phoenix area, Republican J.D. Mesnard. Dr. Trujillo, I think you actually met with the senator last week in your visit to Phoenix.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I was at the Capitol all day meeting with different, mostly Republican legislators and trying to change the narrative about public ed. Of all those legislators that I met with, I found Senator Mesnard to be the most insightful, the most knowledgeable on the issues, and I found him to be the most genuine in terms of actually trying to reach across the aisle, create an agreement around Prop 123, which is we need that funding, very much in agreement about funding for special education. That is one of the points of agreement that we had. So I want to compliment him. I think he is really making an effort to work with both the Republican caucus and the Democratic caucus to try to get some things done.
Circling back to what you were talking about in segment number three, the enrollment numbers, I know you lost 1,000 the year before. What was it this year?
This year we were slightly under 600. So anytime you have enrollment loss, it's just bad.
Yeah.
So it's just degrees of horrible. So last year was absolutely horrible losing 1,000. This year we're just bad. But it's symptomatic of what's going on around the state. Mesa lost almost 2,000 students in a single year. That is
where are these
titanic.
Students going? Is it a change in the demographics? Are they going over leaving public school districts for the charters or private schools?
So you have a number of things going on. You have changed demographics, right? So Pima County, we are an aging county.
Getting older.
Yeah. Not only are we an aging county, but census data notes that that families are waiting longer to have kids.
Okay.
So there's an increase in the amount of families that have their first kid in their 40s. So that's not good for kindergarten and early childhood ed. And then you have the majority of homeowners in Pima County. They're over the age of 50. So housing has become more expensive. So older folks move in, younger folks leave. And so you're not able to replenish your early grades, which creates a gap, right? Then you also have the dramatic increase in charters and privates that are always there, sort of cherry picking the cream of the crop of any school district, not just TUSD. And then to me, what's been the most destructive is the empowerment scholarship accounts, the vouchers, in terms of what they've done. So it's a combination of all of those elements that move in and really take down enrollment, not just here, but everywhere. We saw Amphi, our neighbors, they lost almost 4% of their student body year over year. So it's been rough for them too.
Question for you from a listener coming in on my Facebook. How does the DEI bans affect the multicultural programs at Tucson Unified?
Well, so far at Tucson Unified, it's business as usual because it's frozen. There is an injunction right now on that particular executive order. But even as we read the executive order, it specifically references illegal DEI practices like jobs and giving jobs out. We don't do any of that stuff. Listen, our DEI department has nothing to do with offering employment to anybody, much less offering employment based off of race. Like, our whole notion of DEI is making sure that our students get the resources and the opportunities equitably across the district that they need. So they'll look at bus routes. They want to make sure that bus routes are coming out of our most impoverished communities to provide access.
But you're not giving jobs to people because of their color.
And they'll look at fee schedules to see if we can increase fee waivers for families of need. They'll look at access to advanced coursework for African American students and Native Americans. It's nothing to do with giving out jobs based off of race, nor do they determine school admissions based off of race. Those are like the two charges that are made in this executive order. And they certainly don't advocate the overthrow of the U.S. government. That was some other crazy language in the executive order. So we're not doing anything illegal. And that's kind of where we stand on this whole thing. And obviously, it's tied up in the courts right now.
So where are we now as we get ready to close the academic year? What is your summary for the listeners?
Front and center is our budgetary issues, right? So we are in a season where we have to cut $8.6 million because we have $8.6 million fewer dollars for 25-26 than we had for 24-25. That's immediate.
Wow, that's red ink.
We got to do that. We also have to balance the desegregation pot of money. We collect $63 million in desegregation funds for desegregation programming. We're not allowed to go past $63 million. Mm-hmm. But the rising cost of employees, benefits, wages, all of that has created an overage. So we have about $3 million that we've also got to cut out of the desegregation pie. So this is going to be a very, very tough season for us. We always start with those types of cuts as far away from the classroom as possible. So it's going to be a tough season for administration because we're going to be cutting across all of our central office administrative areas.
Fortunately, the infrastructure that the voters said, we want a better facilities, that will not be affected.
That will not be affected.
Very important point.
Those are voter-protected dollars, absolutely.
Yeah. And those, quickly update on how's the program going? I know there's the security group is working and the HVAC people. How's it all going?
We're excited. So first of all, none of those dollars are we allowed to touch to balance our budget.
Okay.
So anybody listening,
yeah,
those dollars are off limits.
Okay.
We have to spend those on what the voters approved. So we're excited. Our HVAC installations, we're rounding the corner. In the next probably 4 months, we'll have done almost 60 schools with brand new heating and cooling systems.
To make the fall summer a lot better.
We're excited about our window security film going into all of our schools. We're in the midst of gating and fencing projects. So, everything's going well with our bond program.
And that's putting people to work.
It is.
So there are a lot of people installing all of that. Those improvements. All right, Dr. Trujillo, I think we're all set for your next visit in about a month, so thank you very much. Wish you well.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, on behalf of Dr. Trujillo and Tom, who engineers and produces our program, doing a great job, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.